The 3HL, coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Here we go on this Wednesday hump day. Tennessee Vol fans, you got your AD. Today you got your coach. Danny White introduced Josh Heupel as the new head coach of the Tennessee Vols. Teresa Walker reporting from the Associated Press, 6-year deal worth $4 million a year. They're also, she says, paying half his buyout at UCF. So, I guess.
Half of his buyout. Oh, yeah, because Mike Wilson said that it was $3
million. Yeah, so I guess my man gets to pay half of his own buyout to set himself free. But either way, UCF making a whole lot of money off Tennessee. I think if I was Donde Plowman, I would have said, hey, man, maybe we could schedule some games or something, you know. Should have just straight cash, homie. Let's schedule some games in the future. That's not off the table, right? But
I don't know if I'd be scheduling them immediately. I'd wait about 2 or 3 years.
Oh, no, I'm saying way down the road. I don't want anything to do with them right now. No way. Schedule them down the road. But football schedules are done for a while. You know, you can't schedule them immediately. Schedule them in basketball. You know, schedule them in other sports. I think I would have found a way to eat some of this money. Here's the craziest thing. All these dollar figures getting thrown around. We all wondered, whole year last year, coronavirus. Boy, what can anybody do? It's going to cripple athletic departments. Tennessee's been spending money like crazy to get ADs, to get coaches. What about Kevin Steele if they don't keep him? This is going to be one of the strangest coaching tenures in the history of college football. He would literally have been the acting head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers without ever leading them onto any field for 1 second to do anything and leave here with $900,000 or whatever the total amount was. Yeah, for a couple of years. It'd be the greatest job in the world for any – like, okay, man, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, sure. Just send me the $900,000, I guess, on top of what you're getting from Auburn. But Josh Heupel is the guy. The resume, he's been a head coach. He's won games, explosive offenses at multiple schools. Blaine, he does have SEC experience, spent a couple of years at Missouri. He would take the job, which – you know, we heard along the way, maybe this guy was going to stay put and this guy's going to stay here and this guy's going to. So he would take the job. Also, the word integrity has been thrown around a whole lot. So obviously, if you're Danny White, you do believe in this guy's integrity because you've now hired him twice at two schools in 3 years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, I think it all points back to everybody he interviewed, you know, and Danny White, that he kept probably comparing him to Josh Heupel, and he says, you know what, he's my guy, and we're going to have to play this thing back again, except this time we win the national championship because, you know, they're really trying to restore the iconic brand that Tennessee is. At the end of the day, they have all the pieces in place when you talk about facilities, academics, everything else. So now it's about they got the proper leadership, now they got the AD, now they need to, you know, make sure they get their coach. So we shall see if he can get it done and how soon can he get it done. And a lot of fans are going to be eager to be happen right away. But, hey, if they go 500 this first year, looking at the schedule, to which the schedules came out today for the SEC, you know, I think it's feasible. I think that's fair expectations. So, I mean, and while the, you know, press conference or anything like that, I don't think that's who Heupel is. I think sometimes, you know, you're not a big salesman and those things at the presser. Then you come out there, you're an X and O's guy who gets it done and knows how to go out here and teach players how to play their position and get them to do the things you want them to do on the football field, let alone help them grow as people. I think that's who this guy is. And he's had a laundry list of players at the quarterback position for sure that he's had success with. All different types, pocket passers, run around guys to guys who are in between. So I think that's another notch under his belt and head coaching experience and having some success. So hopefully he'll be the right guy and get him on the right track and for a long time. So we shall see. And he acts like, you know, the sanction that's possibly coming out is just going to be a speed bump. That was, I think, the term he used. So I don't know what kind of speed bump, but it could be a small one. It could be a big one. So, and then you said his contract was structured where he could get an extra year, I think you said, out of the.
It was Mike Wilson. Yeah, I told us that earlier. If there are sanctions up to a certain level, then that automatically gives him an extra year.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't happen. And he paid a portion of his buyout, half the buyout there at UCF. So shows you his dedication and wanting to come to Tennessee. I think the buyout was $3 million, and he probably paid 1.5. I'm not sure if that's the actual number, but that's what we're hearing. So, yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if you want to jump for joy and all elated because, you know, he's not kind of in that network of SEC, you know, let's say brotherhood. But
right.
This guy's had success everywhere he's gone. So let's see if he can do it with the big boys as the head guy. Not the OC. He did it for 2 years. And he took Missouri's offense, by the way, from 125 rank to 13th in the country, I think. Something like that. That's a huge jump. They do that, and they just can get the your defense to hold the fort and be halfway decent. Hey, man, I think you can win some games now. You can for sure get 6 wins, you know, earlier, sooner than later. Then, you know, hey, if some things go your way, you never know when you're talking about college student athletes. And what's going on in their heads? Guy could just drop the ball because he was thinking about had to get home to his girlfriend who broke up with him and get her back. Because Mickey knows all about that, right?
Well, I mean, you're dealing with 18 to 23 year old people, you know, and you're dealing with the problems that they have. And you know, it's funny sometimes as adults we start, oh gosh, that's no big deal. But think when you were that age and how big a deal that was.
That was funny. People forget when they were that age. Take yourself back to that time.
100%.
Yeah.
People forget though, man. You know, they forget about that, or they look at athletes differently. Well, they can't have a bad game because their girlfriend broke up with them. Well, what happened to you in college when your girlfriend broke up with you? Remember, you didn't go to class for 3 weeks.
Yeah. I went and just knocked somebody out at the game.
But we all remember that dude who, you know, he punched a hole in the dorm room wall, you know, grew a beard, stopped going to class for a month over some relationship thing. They can't do that. They got to keep going to class. They got to keep playing. Yeah. So absolutely. That's all part of it. It's just dealing with young people.
Yeah.
And those were, like you said, he talked about that today. He talked about a connection and guys having a connection to each other, players loving the player next to them. And guys playing for each other. So absolutely. He went down that road today talking about Josh Heupel. You brought up the numbers at Missouri. I found this from one of the Missouri beat reporters. In 2015, Missouri was 124th in the nation in total offense. They were 124th. Just an example. Tennessee was 102 last year in total offense. So let's just say both over 100 in 20, and they were, they had 281 yards per game. In 2016, his first year, the Tigers led the SEC and were ranked 13th in the nation. They averaged 500 yards per game. In 2017, Missouri was 8th in the nation in total offense. They averaged 502 yards per game. The Tigers were also 14th in the nation in scoring at 37.5 points per game. Now, it's a depleted roster. These guys weren't necessarily recruited to run this particular system. So you got to get some guys in offensive lineman wise and all those things. But here's the thing. What if they score 30 points a game next year? This year they scored 21.5. What if they score 30 points? What if they score 28 points a game next year? That's a touchdown more per game. You know, what if he could do that? Now, we don't know. We don't know how the sanctions are going to go or scholarship reduction. We don't know any of that stuff. But if we just say, what if they could get to 30 points a game, much less 37.5? Then the next year, what if they got to 35, 37, whatever it was? You find a defense that can get there however number of stops per game that we used to always talk about this with the Titans every year. All right, we know they're going to score 30. How many stops do they need to make so the other team scores 29 or less? Well, Tennessee's got to find that right defensive coordinator. If you're scoring 30 a game, 32, 33, 34, then you find the right defensive coordinator to work with that up-tempo offense. Who knows? As we talked about earlier, Blaine, hey, this possession might be 37 seconds if we go 3 and out. So y'all going to have to hustle back out there and get another stop. You know, probably going to have a fantastic punter. You try to keep that field flipped at all times. But I think Vol fans would be excited if they're scoring 30-plus points a game at some point in the near future, because it's been a minute since any of them have seen that.
Yeah, well, I mean, no doubt about it. I think that'll make it a little bit easier on the defense, at least your hope. So as long as they got some pass rush to get after the passer, I think that'll help out tremendously. So they did that. They got to keep some of the guys that's on the roster. They got to get some of the guys to status, you know, thinking about going to the portal to guys that are in the portal and see if they oh, man, I love this offense. Oh, and decide on what you're going to do on defense and continue to assemble the staff. Will still be back? Will he not? Those are questions being answered. It seems as though, you know, on offense, at least it seems as though T. Martin's not going to be back based off, you know, Twitter on, you know, with his relationship with some of his former teammates. Yeah. You know, he may be bringing some coaches in that he's comfortable with, knows the system, didn't have to teach the coaches and the players the system, just the coaches that he assigns to his system. You know, it seems that'll be the easier route. And then, you know, maybe let Kevin Steele, someone kind of do it like Missouri did with Drinkwitz. He kept an assistant, you know, on the defensive side that first year to see how it all worked out as he's got his offense in play. And they, as they got along, they got better and better on offense. And so then now he's made a change on defense, hiring Steve Wilkes, an NFL guy, to run his defense now. So he kind of left the defense where it was and said, hey, you guys, let's see where we go from here and see if we have a good fit, because he was an offensive guy. So naturally, he knows a lot of offensive guys to hire on his staff, not necessarily defensive guys at the last minute. So maybe something like that happens with this situation. And he still had success this year. I don't know what Missouri went. I think they were with 500, somewhere around there. They weren't a bad team. They were solid. Yeah. Tennessee lucky and played them early, did not have to play them late.
True that. Hey, with Kevin's deal, you're not paying him very much money.
Yeah.
And you only got a certain amount you can spend for your assistants. And if you're paying him $450 a year for 2 years, that certainly means you could pay other guys more money if you roll with Kevin Steele in that DC role. Money's been any object. But
We do this all the time. But Derek Ansley is the DC, and he's getting paid $1 million. But Kevin Steele's reputation came in, but his pay tells you what he's actually doing. And he's not the DC, even though he became the interim coach. The DC is Derek Ansley.
Yep.
They paid him $1 million. You pay one guy $1,450,000, that does not entitle me to be the DC.
Yeah, Auburn's paying most of Kevin Steele's money right now.
Right, he makes what, 2.5 or so, you know, split amongst the two. So, you know, I think 450 by UT. So it's interesting to see everybody, just like everybody thought, you know, like, oh, we're going to hire a DC, you know. And I go, well, dang, don't they already have a DC? What were they going to do? Remember, before all this happened with Pruitt, they were like, they're going to get a new DC. I'm like, well, where's Ansley go? He has the DC title.
Still under contract, yeah.
And he's still there.
That is very true. He wasn't one of the expiring contracts. We got to expire this segment, though, because we got to get to John Bryce with all the latest. He's going to break it all down. How did they get to a guy that they knew so well? How did that happen? John Bryce joins us next on Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. John Bryce joins us now from Coaching Search. John, it's been an interesting and a very fast turnaround on this search for Danny White. And we were told that you're not going to hear leaks from him. Although, as he brought up today, he did get this information leaked, and he did not seem happy about it, that Josh Heupel would be the next head coach. Somebody did crack this code last night. That news started to get out.
Yeah, it did. And it was interesting, first of all, even with a little bit of leak here at the end and some over the weekend. I think there was some good information. Certainly some folks there in Nashville had some really good information, and there was some pertinent stuff along the way that we tried to keep up with. It was pretty buttoned down from a search standpoint, really from beginning to end. Think about where we all were 10 or 11 days ago as Jeremy Pruitt was being fired to where we are now, and just the time frame alone is a remarkable record of functionality for the University of Tennessee.
So how did we land on Josh Heupel? Because Blaine and David Reed and I were talking about this earlier. You know, Blaine was like, I'm sure a lot of people would like to know ultimately who all said no to this thing. How did we land on Josh Heupel?
Well, I think obviously Tennessee officials, whether they want to say there was only one official offer, maybe there was only one official MOU delivered to a candidate, but obviously Tennessee made a couple of runs at James Franklin. We've confirmed that from multiple people. It's been reported by multiple other people. I think James Franklin was the absolute top target out there. I know PJ Fleck had some people that he was vetted by the Parker search firm, and I know that then people in PJ Fleck's camp reached out to some other folks about the potential of joining up should PJ Fleck be on the move. So I think that's another name that had some legitimate traction to it. Tennessee met with Jamie Chadwell, I believe, Monday of this week and spoke with him, although that was Chadwell would have accepted the job. So I think that was more of an exploratory meeting in case things dragged a little longer than they did. So I don't think that we'll ever know how many people said no necessarily, for one simple fact is that probably a lot of coaches never let it get to that point. I know for certain from speaking with multiple members of some of the coaching staffs involved that at least two coaches basically said that, they didn't even want to take a phone call. Just too many unknowns about the University of Tennessee job right now.
I'm with John Bryce from Football Scoop talking about Tennessee's new head football coach.
John, how much do you think is fair to the fans, if you want to give it that term, that they do know who was interviewed and who denied so they understand where their program is absolutely at, and that way they don't set these expectations off to Richter's tail?
You know, I think that's a great point, Blaine, but there's been very little, I would argue, that's been fair to the fans of the University of Tennessee for about the past 12 years or so between Bruce Pearl's investigation and NCAA problems in the basketball program, the litany of football coaches, the revolving door too often at athletics director, changes in school leadership in general. So there's been a number of things that have not remotely been fair to the University of Tennessee fan base in recent years. I do think it's fair to have some reality mixed in with some positivity. And there was a lot of positivity in the press conference today, and I understand that. And I thought that both Josh Heupel and Danny White overall handled themselves very well. But there needs to be some reality as well. This job was not as attractive as what it was would have been even 4 weeks ago had Tennessee just separated with Jeremy Pruitt and immediately gone on to a new search, even if it separated with Jeremy Pruitt Phil Fulmer 4 weeks ago and immediately started, the job would have been much more appealing, I believe. So. There does need to be some reality there. I did hear from multiple college coaches, including some coaches in the SEC today, that felt like the quality of attention and candidate pool at Central Florida to replace Josh Heupel would really turn some people on their ears because they would see that that is a really good job with really good potential. And, hey, look, Josh Heupel and Scott Frost turned it into a pair of big-time storied Power 5 programs that are down on their luck right now.
What are the odds on, let's say, let's start with the defensive side, that Kevin Steele and crew that are left will still be working in Tennessee on the defensive side of football when the season starts?
I'm sorry, my phone cut out. Could you repeat that?
Oh, I said, what are the odds that Kevin Steele and some of the other staff, defensive staff members, you think will be there when the season starts?
You know, I think there's a solid opportunity for Kevin Steele, and we continue to see what's going to happen with Derek Ansley. He's under contract for at least one more year, but he's gotten some interest in recent weeks. He hasn't landed a job offer, but he was loosely in the mix at Oregon. He got in the mix some at LSU before they settled on Durante from the Vikings. So Derek Ansley may still yet have some options to go to the NFL. I think that bears watching. Jay Graham is very much in demand and has been. Alabama has interest in him potentially as coaching special teams. South Carolina just lost its running back coach Des Kitching today to the Atlanta Falcons. That's another potential landing spot for Jay Graham. So there aren't many holdovers left on Tennessee staff right now, obviously, and some guys are still looking to do their to see what options are out there. But I think a guy like Kevin Steele has a decent shot. Plus, Randy Shannon was Josh Heupel's defensive coordinator at UCF. He's been named the interim. He's getting serious consideration to be Heupel's full-time replacement. So I don't think Randy Shannon will come with Josh Heupel to the University of Tennessee. So that also could potentially work in Kevin Steele's favor.
On a broader note, it seems like, you know, a lot of pro coaches now are going to college, and everybody thought it was going to be the reverse, you know, that, you know, college coaches were going to go to the pros. But I think the equalizer is now the pay has gotten so much evenly balanced on pro or college, and maybe even more at college. Do you think this trend to continue, or do you see it the other way?
You know, I think it's a blend of both, Blaine, and I think it kind of depends on where a coach is in his career and what exactly he's looking for. Look, the fact of the matter is, right now, quality of life is better for a lot of NFL coaches than it is for a lot of college coaches. The calendar is more strictly defined. Everybody's competing with the same salary cap, the single number. Everybody is competing on a level playing field in that regard. Recruiting bases aren't as much. It's about what you can build from an organizational standpoint and sustain. So if you're established in your career, a guy like Dez Kitchens leaving South Carolina, I mean, he's been in the mix before for jobs at Tennessee. He's been in the mix before for jobs at Notre Dame. He's been a former co-offensive coordinator at NC State. He's going to be a and he was getting a raise to stay at South Carolina, and yet he's going to the NFL. So I think you're seeing some guys that are choosing quality of life. Right now, quality of life is better for coaches in the NFL than it is in college football.
We're going with John Bryce with Football Scoop.
So, John, it's pretty easy if you start looking at Heupel's pluses. You'd say, well, his record. You'd say his explosive offenses. And you'd say, gosh, he develops quarterbacks. There are things you can point to. If you're looking at his negatives, and not things people would say on Twitter, but like these are the perceived negatives of Josh Heupel nationally, or, you know, by people who follow him, cover him. What are the negatives against this guy?
You know, they obviously have struggled defensively. About part of that is the system that they play. Their defense is going to be on the field more, but, you know, they had, I think, the number 8 scoring offense this past season and the number 92 scoring defense. That obviously is not all on Josh Heupel. You've got a veteran defensive coordinator in Randy Shannon who had some opt-outs, and I didn't think by any means had his best season as a defensive coordinator. Dennis Dodd asked the question today during the press conference about Heupel being fired from his alma mater at 214 at Oklahoma and how that shaped him moving forward. And I think Josh Heupel is a much better coach now than he was 6 or 7 years ago. Hopefully I sound better on radio now than I did 6 or 7 years ago. So the other thing is, can he recruit in the SEC? And is he ready for the mega spotlight of the SEC? And I think that's the one question that a lot of people are asking. And that's coaches, that's fans, that's media. Because, look, as good as they were at Central Florida, and he was really good, not as good as Scott Frost, but he was really good the first year after Frost left, you're still a distant afterthought in that city, even though they've done a great job of growing the fan base. You're still playing behind Disney World and Sea World and Universal and Lego World and all those attractions. And now you're it. I mean, you've got the biggest football stadium in the state, one of the 10 biggest football stadiums anywhere in America. And I think how he handles and transitions to the spotlight is going to be a key for him.
Is there any more idea at this point what the penalties might be facing this program, or even when there might be a resolution when we would know the full scope of these penalties?
You know, it's my understanding that multiple people still have interviews to go in the process, and will visit, I think, even a second time with investigators for the NCAA and the attorneys and the counsel involved. So I still think we're a bit away from knowing any kind of complete resolution on that, or even having a clear picture. I do think that there will probably be more severe individual penalties handed out to coaches no longer at Tennessee versus what the University of Tennessee itself expects to receive. I spoke with a sitting compliance director at a Power Five school within the past couple of weeks, and this person told me because Tennessee acted so expediently and made a swift decision to expect Tennessee to be able to avoid the, quote, dreaded lack of institutional control with the way it handled it, that doesn't necessarily mean that Jeremy Pruitt would not get a lack of coach control penalty or something along those lines. But I do believe the penalties, and Tennessee is hopeful that the penalties, unfortunately, go more to the individuals involved. Unfortunately for those individuals, better for the case of the University of Tennessee.
With John Bryce of FootballScoop.com.
Well, Bryce, let's talk a little bit about UCF, a group of five, maybe the best job out there in the group of five. Who are some candidates for that actual job?
Yeah, well, two in-house candidates. Of course, we already discussed Randy Shannon, who's been a head coach at Miami. So he's run a big-time program, and he's run a big-time program in the state of Florida, has a ton of great contacts and is well-respected throughout that state. The offensive coordinator, Alex Golish, is another guy that I would very much watch to be in play there. He's worked under Matt Campbell. He's an Ohio State graduate. He's a really sharp offensive mind, and he's the architect and a big reason why that UCF offense this past year scored more than 42 points per game. So I think he'll be a candidate. I think you could see Dan Lanning from Georgia, the defensive coordinator. That's the kind of next logical step for him, is to become a head coach. I've spoken with people in recent weeks when he was pondering the Texas job, who said, you know, that they believe really the next step he wanted to make was to be a head coach. I would watch for Jeff Levy at Ole Miss, the offensive coordinator. He had two great years on staff at Central Florida, including the 2019 season when he was the offensive coordinator, and really did such a fantastic job that that's why Lane Kiffin very quickly identified him and brought him to Oxford. And that's why you've already seen Ole Miss give him a contract extension and raise just after 1 year in Oxford. But of course, that contract, is, if I'm to understand correctly, does not include any sort of penalty if Levy leaves to become a head coach. So those are some early names that I would watch. I would have had Brian Johnson on there, the Florida offensive coordinator, but he just got a job today in the NFL. I think he's another brilliant young offensive mind to pay attention to. So those are kind of some of the earlier names that I've heard from coaches to watch for today. But again, I've heard from ACC coaches, SEC coaches, and rival coaches to Central Florida, who all reached out today to tell me what a fantastic job that the Central Florida job is, especially with the recruiting base anywhere within a pretty drivable, an easy drive radius of where you are there in Orlando there in Central Florida.
I guess lastly for me, when this process started and they were looking for a head coach at Tennessee to restore their iconic brand, do you think that Heupel would have been at the top of the list and that he would be eventually the guy that they hire?
If everything was equal, or
with the circumstance that it was?
I think that Josh Heupel could be a very good hire for the University of Tennessee. I just think that we're yet to see where this thing goes, and I don't think that for any number of reasons, the timing of it, the brevity of it, the investigation ongoing, this was in no way a normal search by any stretch of the imagination for Tennessee. I think that the fact that coaches I know would not take phone calls and had no interest in the job, coaches you would have never, 5 or 10 years ago, you would have never thought a group of five coach would not entertain a phone call to become the head coach at Tennessee. But I believe that happened in at least two cases in this situation. I think that's very noteworthy. But this hire, whatever we say today, is interesting, and we have to break down the hire, but we won't begin to know anything about the success of this hire for at least 12 months, probably not anywhere until closer to 24 or 36 months, in my opinion. So Tennessee is just not the job that it was 5 or 10 years ago, certainly not the job it was when Tennessee first hired Lane Kiffin 12 years ago.
Going with John Bryce for Football Scoop.
John, I couldn't help but think about one guy today during all this, and that was Philip Fulmer, because, you know what, a little over a week ago, he was still the director of athletics. All this stuff comes to light. Now, you know, how long it was brewing behind the scenes that he wasn't going to be the AD anymore. But you had a new AD who hired a new head football coach to start a new era of Tennessee football, and he's nowhere near a part of this stuff anymore. Life came at him pretty fast in this deal, but I'll ask you, what happens with his legacy now? What's next for him, and what about his legacy?
You know, it's fair to say that life came at him pretty fast, but then it's also, especially as many times as the three of us have visited on this show, it's also been building to this point. So, yeah, it maybe accelerated into the brick wall at the end very fast, but it was a stone rolling downhill toward an inevitable conclusion really for quite some time, because Philip Fulmer spent too much time watching film with coaches instead of being an athletics director. And I know it's because he so dearly loves Tennessee football, but that wasn't what he was hired to do once he made the head coaching hire. He needed to get football right, but also work to get the entire athletics department right. I think this hurts his legacy. I absolutely do. Not just the losing, but the way that they lost, the ugly losses, the fact that 13 of the losses, I believe, were by 21 or more points, the fact that there's this scandal hanging over the university that certainly, you know, Philip Fulmer was not a part of that, but it happened right under his nose, and it happened when we all know from speaking to coaches on staff and people around the program that he was in the facility a lot and he was around the coaches a lot. So it's just a bad look. It's unfortunate for all that he did for Tennessee, the way he ended in 2018, and it's unfortunate again the way that he ends this abbreviated tenure as athletics director. But he's also getting $37,500 a month, I believe, for the next 35 months. So there's not too much sympathy there. As I noted last week, he now will have made almost $7.5 million to not work for Tennessee, in addition to all the salaries that he made while working for Tennessee.
Well, definitely a new era with a bunch of new faces, and it starts with a new coach, Josh Heupel, today. People need to continue to follow John Bryce and Football Scoop for all the latest. And, again, now as Central Florida starts a head coaching search, and as we start to see who the staff falls into place for with Josh Heupel at Tennessee, I'm sure Football Scoop will have all the latest. Thank you, John.
Appreciate
it, John. Thank you. Thanks, Blaine. Appreciate it, Dave. Have a great week, guys.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Breaking right, news, though. One coach has already left the UT staff. Jay Graham is going, guess where? We will
Don't
tell
save
you
it.
When you come back. Yes.
I learned from you. Blaine Bishop. We're coming back with that next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5. Y'all will be coming up next to just carry on the rest of the day till 6 o'clock with all the latest on Tennessee's new head coach, Josh Heupel. We're all starting to wonder what will happen with staff pieces as they start to fall in place. And Blaine, you got a little bit of news on that regard, huh?
Yeah, it seems like T. Martin won't be coming back, but we don't know where he's going. But we do know Jay Graham will not be back because he is going to be the special teams coordinator at Alabama.
Oh,
Roll Tide, you're lost. Okay. And as Alabama always says, our game, because we got the number one coach in the country. Nothing has changed with him, but everything around him changes. But my winning in national championships stay the same. That's when you know it's him. Jay Graham off to Roll Tide country. Mm. That hurts.
Yeah, that's I know Vol fans like having those VFLs on staff. And you mentioned about T. Martin. We saw earlier a tweet from one of his teammates, and T's been without a contract. His contract was one that expired, so we've all been kind of waiting. Will there be some news? But you had a tweet earlier from Peerless Price, and I'm trying to get it called up now, where basically he talked about T. Martin in a tweet. He said, I just got off the phone with my quarterback, T. Martin, and to say my guy is hurting is an understatement. My brother, if my vision was ever clouded, I have clear sight on everything you sacrificed for our university. Damn the pain, he said in my brother's voice, I've never heard before. And so we wondered, I wonder what in the world does that mean? And there were people asking him questions, and a guy kind of questioned that tweet, and Peerless responded and said, a guy basically said something about this take, and there's things that come into play, and Peerless says, your assumptions are funny. You assume that I was speaking of him wanting to become the head coach at Tennessee. That assumption is funny. So you and I kind of read that and thought, okay, this probably means he's just saying, they told me we got other people we got to bring in who know our system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he won't be returning. Yeah. Man. Tough deal, man, that coaching. It's not personal. Let's move on to the next job. Got to develop all kind of connections. And got to have a really good agent. Mm. Dang. Lost out twice.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, if you're T's agent, then you've already been on the phone and you're working all those calls. And that's a guy who is well-liked, and he's worked as far out on the other coast, you know, at USC. Mm-hmm. So he's known by a lot of people. He's worked with a lot of different people. He's the type of guy that somebody will – I mean, the way he recruits and just the character of that guy, I would imagine there's going to be some people who are like, okay, let's find a spot for T. Martin now. And I look forward to seeing where he lands.
Yeah, I always cheering for T. Martin, man. Wishing the best, and I'll be watching from afar, always. Yeah, I love texting people and be like, I'm still watching from afar. Yeah, I just text that to Leslie Frazier last week.
No.
His next text was, good to hear from you, Blaine. And I said, I'm always watching, coach.
Yeah, Les Frazier, name that we've been hearing a lot these days. Josh Heupel, a name that we're going to be hearing a lot of. Teresa Walker saying he had a 6-year contract that was worth $4 million per year. Ooh, and that Tennessee paid half of his
mil.
Tennessee was paying half of his buyout. We had our buddy Mike Wilson on from Knoxville News Sentinel earlier, and Mike said that basically if they find a certain level of violations, that his contract would automatically roll to a 7th year.
Mm. So
that bumps him up to $28 million guaranteed.
Oh, man. That's some good cheddar there, man. And he's still in Tennessee where the taxes are somewhat the same as in Florida. Weather quite not as nice, though. I have to give him that. There won't be no palm trees around here.
Boy, the more wintry. Yeah, man, this winter thing, the older I get, the less I like it. As a kid, I'm like, I'll bring on all the winter you want to bring on. The older I get, the colder I get, though. You know, that Orlando weather probably wouldn't be too terrible to live with year-round.
Yeah, man, I'm going to tell him, hey, man, you know, I have to go to the tanning bed now, man. You can't just go out there and practice. You know, get you a nice little glow.
So, Josh Heupel, the schedule is released, Tennessee football schedule. They open September 4th at Bowling Green. Then they got Pittsburgh rolling into Knoxville. If I'm Josh Heupel, I'm like, hey, man, got to talk to the scheduling coach. Can't be bringing some, you know, Pittsburgh in here for a non-con. Come on, man.
Man, Pittsburgh, man, they've done well, man, there. What's it, Narduzzi? Mm-hmm. Pat Narduzzi? I think they've done well, especially defensively. So that'll be an interesting test. Lisa's at home.
Yeah, no doubt.
Ooh.
Moving on from there, Tennessee Tech is the next week. They'll come into Knoxville September 18th. First SEC game for Josh Heupel will be at Florida September 25th. Welcome to the SEC. Welcome to the Swamp. Although he's been there before. He was Missouri's offensive coordinator. Maybe they didn't. I'd have to look and see, but he certainly would know about the rigors of the SEC. A couple of years as an OC at Missouri, but they go to Florida. Welcome back to the SEC, I should say. Then they're at Mizzou October 2nd. That'll be a great test for him, right? If you're a Vols fan, okay, how can you fare against Mizzou? South Carolina the next week, October 9th. Okay, that's another great test. As you said earlier, they got a new coach.
Yeah.
They got a new regime. Where are we? This is a good test to see where we are. Then Ole Miss. A bunch of y'all wanted old Lane Kiffin to come back. Well, he's coming back. He's just coming back with Ole Miss.
He'd just be on the other sideline.
He'll be wearing light blue that day. He comes Mike Wilson said that
maybe
90-87 that day. But these two offenses, Tennessee can get it rolling because we know Ole Miss will. Then at Alabama, October 23rd. Then an open date. They can rest. Then they go to Kentucky November 6th. Georgia in Knoxville November 13th. South Alabama gives you a breath. And then Vanderbilt November 7th. And Vanderbilt also has a new coach, Clark Lee. So we'll get to see how do those two teams compare at the end of the season.
Man, well, I think 6-6 is reasonable. So we shall see. I don't want to set the expectations too low and definitely not too high. Transition, not knowing the bowl ban and maybe reduce scholarships and all that. So let's kind of wait and see how that all plays out. But and see who he hires as a coach. Let's start there first. They're coaches, assistant coaches. So,
yeah.
Yes. Tough time, but it's almost over. It's almost over. You get the staff together, then it's move ahead. What we got?
Jeremy Pruitt is working on a deal per Bruce Feldman to join the Jets coaching staff. Hey, man, show cause, schmo cause. I'm going to the NFL. We'll see what happens next. There you go, JT, showing us that.
What the heck?
JP, headed to the Big Apple. Boy, that is going to be some culture shock. To the New York Jets. Wowzers. Life comes at you fast. This show came at you fast. It's over. Time for 3HL. That gets you through the rest of the afternoon talking about Josh Heupel, new head coach of the Tennessee Vols. Blaine, we'll pick up discussion again tomorrow. As for now, peace out, everybody. Have a good night.
Better get in shape, boys.
Fast. Moves fast.